You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Throughline Podcast. God, it's the middle of the summer. Are you enjoying it? I'm loving it. I don't really have much to say. You know what I mean? If you're watching, you know, sometimes I'm just going to get into it. And I'm excited this week because there's a great show in L.A. called The Hot Tub Show with Kurt Brongholer and Kristen Schaal. Both great comedians, awesome people, and it's run by two amazing people, Joel and Mandy. They run the Super Serious show as well. If you're ever in L.A. on a Monday night, The Hot Tub Show at the Virgil, one of the best shows in town. And I was there the other night, and this week's guest, Shane Torres, who's this week's guest, was on the lineup, and I'm like, oh my God, if he's in town for a little bit, because he lives in New York, I'm like, I got to have him on the podcast, and you're going to love this week's show. It's so awesome. Let me just tell you guys, I've been finding a lot of freedom lately. I've been finding freedom and just talking about things that I really like and things that, ideas that are, you know, it's funny, but at the same time just mean something to me. And I feel like a lot of you out there responding, letting me know that you enjoy it and that's things that you question as well. So I'm going to keep doing it. And I got to say, great response from the solo episode. So I'm going to do another one of those and maybe do more of those. So I like doing it, and I like getting questions from you guys. If you have questions or things you want me to talk about, send them in to me. You can hit me up on Instagram, JLarsonComedy. You can send them my email, holidaybakeryproductions@gmail. Maybe I'll start another email. I don't want another email. I got a Facebook fan. Then we had to start another Facebook fan page because they shut us out because of content. And then I got a Twitter. I never go to Twitter. Fuck it. I have an email. I want to start another email. That's six things that I got to make. For what? It's too much, but maybe I will. Also, this week, want to give a shout out to Whiskey, The Whiskey Lifestyle. Go check them out. My good friend runs his brand. It's clothing, hats, and they do interviews. Go to Whiskey Lifestyle. Check them out. It's just a cool brand, and I love them, and my buddy Griffin, who runs it, it's a great company with cool swag. So if you're into it, you like it, they make cool hats. He does a lot of cool stuff. They have cool blogs, cool interviews. Check out The Whiskey Lifestyle. And let me tell you a little bit of this week's guest. I can't remember where Shane and I met, but I remember instantly loving this guy. He's the kind of guy that you're around, and you're like, he just makes you feel comfortable, you know? And I think you'll pick up on a lot of stuff. We have a lot of the same viewpoints, I think, on things, which, you know, sometimes can be a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. With him, it's a great thing. You can check out his website, ShaneIsAComedian.com. He's got a really cool web series called Shane Torres Conquers Fear. We talk a little bit about it at the end of the podcast. It's an interesting idea. And check him out on social media. This week, if you're in Chicago, Shane is in Chicago at Zany's. They have two locations. He's there Monday through Saturday, three nights at one, three at the other. So if you haven't seen him already this week, you know, because the episode is Thursday, check him out. His stand-up is so awesome. If you can't get to it or you don't live in Chicago, go Google Shane Torres, Guy Fieri, or Shane Torres Conan. It's one of the best jokes. His take on Guy Fieri is hilarious and refreshing and awesome. And I love this guy to death. And I hope you enjoy this week's episode as much as I did recording it. And as always, I appreciate you listening. Share with friends. If there's things in here that you like, send it to a friend. Like, yo, you got to peep this. You guys are the best. Enjoy Shane Torres. Look how patient you are. You just sit there. You're ready. Well, we were just saying, I said that I don't think adults should be able to have birthdays celebrated in grand fashion every year. I think once you hit 40, it's every 5 years. 45th, yeah, throw a bender. 50th, but giant parties at for 42-year-olds?
You think it's just a construct. Like, your 5-year rule is no different than the 1-year rule in my mind. There's no way you're thinking it's a satisfying number because it's in a divisible way, you know. Like,
so you're saying I should like appreciate more time?
I mean, you're thinking about it a lot deeper than I would. I just like, why not have a birthday party? It's fine. You don't have to have one, but sticking to a 5-year rule seems a little stringent.
Yeah.
And actually, kind of more stringent than a 1-year, doing one every year.
You know what Robert Kelly said? I forget how old he is. You know Bobby Kelly?
Yeah, I've met him. I just met him, actually.
Okay, yeah. He said, he goes, you know what? I'm 40, whatever. He goes, I got 30 summers left. 30 summers left. So I don't have time for bullshit. So maybe, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know what? Yeah, you only have 30 birthdays left. Maybe you celebrate them. I just look at it like, if you're throwing a rager every year, come on. You know what I mean? Throw a rager every fifth.
But I don't understand why you wouldn't want to have a party every year. I don't do it myself. I say, hey, we're going to go to this bar and have drinks. I don't have...
Yeah.
I always do that. That's like, I'm not into planning a birthday party for myself.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's not a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's a big fucking deal. No, I don't.
Maybe you... I don't know.
You said off mic, maybe I just need to throw myself more birthdays.
I think you do. When's your birthday?
February 3rd.
February 3rd.
You know what it is, I think? When I was young, my mom one year, my 16th and 17th or 17th and 18th, I can't remember, back-to-back years,
yeah,
threw me surprise parties.
I mean...
And I remember at the second one, I got home and all these people are at my house, and I went into my bedroom and bawled. I was like appalled. I'm like, I do not want attention on myself. What is this? This is ridiculous.
Said the stand-up comedian, actor, writer, podcaster.
But the thing is for me, when I'm on stage, that's my time. That's when I get my attention.
You could argue that your birthday is, there's no more time that is your time than your birthday.
That's a good point. And yeah, which I started doing like maybe 8 years ago, I started being like, you know what, on my birthday, that's my day. But what I do is I take it for myself, and like I go out and I do stuff. When I see people, I love talking to people in general.
Yeah.
But I'll talk to people like,
you're always having a story. You're like, I was walking down the street and I just talked to this guy for 2 hours. Like,
of course.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah. I get it. It is. It's very chatty Cathy. Like,
the other day I went to the cigar bar and started.
You were telling me about this last night.
That crazy guy. He knows my neighbors.
Drove up to your house. I saw the black house you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Is the guy he was talking about, is he like kind of a fit looking bald dude, short hair?
No. Oh wait. Yeah.
Your neighbor.
Yeah. He's shaved like tats everywhere.
Yeah.
You saw him?
Yeah. I saw him. I was like, that's Dave.
That's so funny, man. That's
what, but now I'm going to remember that.
Yeah. I just think, I do that, and for my 40th, I threw a big party for like a weekend, and everybody went away, and we had a blast, and I was like, yeah, celebrate yourself, it's great, and like when it's my kids' birthdays, I celebrate the hell out of them, but maybe I will, maybe I turn 40, God, I turned 44 this year. How old are you?
I'm 37.
37.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
I'm a young man. You know what's...
What?
You should celebrate birthdays. Did you ever see movie Before the Devil Knows You're Dead?
No.
I think it was called, it's like Ethan Hawke and Philip Seymour Hoffman, Marissa Tomei and Albert Finney. Oh,
sounds like a horrible cast.
Yeah, really. Bunch of fucking turds. It's a very depressing movie. Yeah. But the saddest scene to me was like Albert Finney's like playing their dad, and he's like 66 and it's his birthday.
Uh-huh.
And he's got to go get his driver's license renewed. That was like that's his big plan for his birthday.
Yeah, totally.
And I was just like, ugh. God, like,
how about
I don't
if you got pulled
that
over that day, and then they were like, "Yeah, man, this is expired." Like, it's my birthday, dude. Look,
my dad got a ticket on his birthday.
He did?
Yeah, from a cop. I remember that.
Oh my God!
What a fucking dick.
What'd they say?
They were like, they wrote him a tune like, "Happy birthday." And my dad was like, "Thanks."
You know Josh Adam Myers?
Yeah, I do.
He got arrested on his birthday, and he was like so banged up about it. He started like, "Come on, man, it's my birthday!" And the cops like, he's got like, they have him in cuffs and stuff, and like, "Oh, it's your birthday!" And he's like, "Yeah, man." They're like, "Hold on a second." And the cop goes over and gets like three other cops, and they come back, and he's like, "Listen, man, I had no idea it was your birthday." And he's like, "Oh man, this is amazing!" And then they all sang "Happy Birthday" to him and arrested him.
That's pretty funny.
What is it with us as comics that we love hearing stuff where someone...
I mean, that's a ridiculous thing.
It is.
And like, I mean, you might, I guess as we talk about ourselves and talk to each other so much, we get to hear these stories all the time. But yeah. You could, if we weren't comics, like we both just worked at an H&R Block, and then like, you know, like one year at the Christmas party, we're both a little loaded, and then you see like a bunch of packing peanuts, and it goes, ah, this time I had these packing peanuts, and I just put them all in my buddy's car and filled them up. You're like, I never knew that fucking story about you. I've been working with you for 25
totally.
Years. Whereas like all we do is fucking gab with one another.
That's
and feels, but yeah.
That's our job.
It's pretty great.
That's why you say, like, you feel like I'm always chatting to someone out there. That's literally...
You are always chatting to someone.
I am. I can't stop. And it doesn't matter where I am. I said something.
You like that about yourself, too.
I just love it in general, because I love catching people off guard and seeing, like, what they're going to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I saw this woman one time, like, debating tomato sauces at Whole Foods. And I just leaned over to her.
Like she had like just one in each hand kind
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, one in each hand, yeah. Just kind of looking. And I just lean over and I go, is price an issue? And she goes, what? I go, is price an issue? She's like, no. And I go, you got to go with the Rao's. That's where you got to be. Why would you go with anything else? And I just love throwing at people.
What did she do? So how do you tell that story and then not tell me what she does?
Well, I'll tell you. So like, I love doing that with people because, I mean, I do this every single day with if you're in vicinity of me, look out. I'm going to talk. It's just going to happen. Yeah. And
why do you think they make that like that?
Huh?
That's you. That's my impression. You're like, yeah. You're just walking. We're just like, why do you think that archway's like that?
What do you think they do that for?
Yeah. It's good. You're full. Huh? You're full of wonder.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so then like, I kind of left her and went up to pay for my stuff, but I forgot something. So like in the middle of my checkout, I'm like, oh, I got to run and grab something. They're checking me out. And I run and she's in the aisle, like the bread aisle. I had to get bread. And I stopped, looked in her cart, and she had the Rao's, and I go, I like where you're at. I like where you're at.
What did she do? What was her?
I think she just, like, laughed. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
It's rare that I don't get people, like, enjoying what I'm doing.
That you don't get a pop out of it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, do you get into it with people?
A little bit. Like, the other day I was, like, leaving. I was coming from a spot and walking to another spot just around the corner. And
in L.A.?
In New York.
Okay.
And there were these two ladies in front of me, and this huge jacked dude, like this guy, like a bodybuilder type, was wearing like one of their, you know, those skinny tank tops that are like, they wouldn't fit over like a teenage girl, you know, like
yes.
They're so, and just huge, and you know, the short shorts and all this kind of stuff, and I saw, he walked by us, and I saw the ladies in front of me, I could see one of their faces, she just goes, like she made them in his face, and I was like, just behind him, I go, I know, right? And they just started laughing, and I was like, what do you think that's like? And I just went in, they were sort of tired, just went into my spot.
And just that's it?
Yeah.
But that's the thing, you know what, because the way I look at it is like, you are altering people's day. They were set on a path.
It might make them laugh for the rest of their...
It might change their whole day.
Yeah.
They were set on a path of how the day was going to go, and then you took them off that path, and then whether they come back to this or decide to go this way... I mean, they may have left there and been, like, on their way to dinner and then passed, like, a bowling alley and seen a guy, like, let's bowl. Who knows?
It's very... This is a thing I did do. I was in Minneapolis, and I was checking in really early to my hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the person behind the counter was transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was I think I'm going to get this right. He was transferring to she, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I kept calling him the wrong, like I kept, yes, yes, maybe no, like I kept doing that.
Because
and then,
the appropriate thing to do is call them by what they're transitioning to,
yes,
not from.
Yeah. Yes. And I was doing the wrong one.
Yeah,
and I noticed it halfway through, and I saw their name tag, so I just started saying their name instead.
Uh-huh.
And then later that day, I felt really bad because they were not, you know. Like, and then I was like on stage at the club, and I go, "Hey, I'm just gonna bring this up. Would you guys apologize for this?" And I just, and a few people were like, "Yeah, definitely." And some people were like, "No, it might be weird." And then I left my spot, and I went, I had some drinks, and I saw the person that was working the graveyard shift when I came in, and I was like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, hey, I know earlier when I checked in, I was saying it like this and like this. And then she was like, thank you so much. She was like, honestly, I get it all the time, so I don't think about it, but I really appreciate you
coming up
and saying it. And then we had this whole funny exchange because their name was Neil on their name tag.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I'm sorry. And it's Shane, by the way. Neil, right? And she goes, oh no, this is my coworker's name tag. So I was like, so you You tripled
three names.
Me. Yeah. And then we were like laughing, and then every night, like, I'd be coming in late from my spots or coming from a bar after my spots, and they'd be like, "How you doing? How was your night? How were your show?" You know, like, we got friendly. It was
of
cool.
Of course. Anytime
yeah.
you break down that wall of not knowing.
Yeah. And it was just cool to do the right thing. And they were also like, "You were right. Like, you're right. I am doing this, and I just started the pills." So,
yeah.
And then it was really cool.
It would have sucked if you were wrong.
Yeah. Just like, ugh.
But, you know, how lucky are you? And that's why I think, because, like, you know, I think so many people have this weird thing about, like, well, if you want to transition, I don't fucking care. You know what I mean? It's like this, people are still getting used to the idea
yeah,
that
it's still
you can
new.
Do this.
It is still new.
Of course.
Yeah. And, like, so some people are going to be behind.
Yes. And what I'm saying is I think you're lucky to have met that person because it gives you the ability to, like, understand it better. You know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. And, like, I mean, I guess the education of it is, like, you know, like, pay a little more attention. Like, you know, there's still...
For sure.
That's what I would want
yeah.
if someone just kept,
yeah,
like, saying, like, not offending me, but, like, miss, you know, like,
yeah,
mistagging me is the word I'm... Yeah.
And you know what's... I think, like, in situations like that, like when I did a show in Portland, and one of the security people was transitioning to a woman from a man, and she was the best. And, like, I made it a point to go out of my way to, like, talk more and be, like, supportive. I didn't mention anything about the transitioning.
Yeah.
About just how great it was having her there every night because, like, she was just
awesome.
Was
this, which club? Was this a club? Or
Helium.
Was, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my home club. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. We got to talk about Portland. And so, and it just, like, it wasn't, like, an organic decision. It didn't just happen. I made a decision to make that effort because I felt like
and it goes a long way. You can also feel
the way.
You can also feel the tone of how they wanted to go after that too, which is very important. Like
100%,
I appreciate
man.
That. Which yeah, maybe, but you can still be like, they appreciate it, but they don't want any more of me. You know, like they're gonna also be a part of that too.
Trust me, I know when people don't want any more of me.
It's about 40 minutes.
I stick around. No, I think that's a long time. We walked out of a restaurant the other night, and there was this gay dude. I'm pretty sure he was gay.
Yeah.
And he was just standing up against the wall, and he just looked dope. And I just stop, and I go, "Look at this. I like everything I see right here." And he goes, "Thank you." And I'm like, "Ugh, top to bottom." And he goes, "Well, what is it that you like?" I'm like, "The pants. God, I love the pants. I like a guy with no belt. You know those pants that have, like, that piece of cloth that flop over and, like, button on that side?"
Yeah, they kind of latch almost. Yeah.
And you don't wear a belt.
That's a certain kind of guy that's going to pull that off.
You got to be
felt. Yeah.
And then, like, we, like, leave, and then we're walking around the corner, and my wife looks at me. She's like, "What is he always?" I'm like, "What do you mean? The guy looked great." It just makes people feel better.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, wait. So you're not from Portland, though?
No, I'm from Texas originally. Yeah. Yeah.
What part?
Fort Worth.
So where is that? By the water?
By the water.
Texas is so damn big. It's there's so many huge cities in Texas.
Dallas is like 45 minutes east of us.
45 minutes east.
Yeah.
What's in Fort Worth? Is there a college there?
TCU's there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
TCU's there. Lockheed Martin's there. It's based.
Is
they
it
have
green?
Some, what?
Is it green?
No. I mean, it's like Texas. It's kind of, but it's there's. I mean, there's foliage and greenery, but it's not like a green place. It's not like Portland or something like that. You know, like, yeah. I mean...
Because, like, I've
seen... It's green like it is out here by your beach where you have some dead yards, but also some, you know, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Fairly green, I guess, but Fort Worth is... I mean, it was a big cattle town. Texas Instruments is there, I think. And so there's
TI,
like...
TI, baby.
Yeah. TI-83, the Griffin Calc.
Texas Instruments. I remember when they came out.
And there's a ton of medical stuff there, too. So
it's a big community?
Yeah, I mean, it's about 1 million people in Fort Worth.
Damn.
Yeah, but it's growing, growing, and growing, and growing, and growing. Yeah. Last place Kennedy ever slept.
Jesus. Is that on the sign when
that's
you
on
enter?
It's on the side of the hotel I stayed in when I played the club.
No way.
Yeah. They don't let you forget it.
No fucking way. Like, you want to know what? This is all he remembers.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. It's a dumb thing to put on.
I mean, we live in such a crazy time anyway with, like, technology happening all the time. Like, things are changing constantly. Can you imagine having been a citizen in this country and the president was murdered?
That would be crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. And, like, what a mark of shame it was. Like, there's still people, like, you know, he died, what, 63 or 66 he was shot?
I don't know the exact year,
but. But like I remember, like so there's still people alive that remember it clearly.
Of course, yeah, my mom.
Yeah, and well, he was a Massachusetts guy too.
Trust me, there was a picture of Kennedy in my aunt's house.
Yeah,
the Kennedys, dude, were, and something with my family, the Kennedys and the royal family, like they were obsessed with.
Yeah, I was in Ireland like a month ago, 2 months ago, visiting my aunties and doing shows, and we went. I'm from not far. My family is not far from where Kennedy is from.
Oh, really?
Or like his family.
Yeah.
And they erected a copper statue of John F. Kennedy in this little like Irish village. I'm like, why is this even?
It's so
such a
crazy.
Weird thing. They also have an Obama. Like,
really?
It's so weird. Like
you know, he's not Irish, guys.
Yeah, you can't
have everybody.
they really want him though. Yeah.
They're like, no,
but there's
we're
like a bridge or something.
Him.
I can't remember what it was. I didn't see the Obama one, but I was like. But my uncle was telling me about it, and I was like, Eddie was like, why do they have this thing of Obama? And he goes, who the fuck knows? Like,
we don't know.
Yeah. Eddie's all right.
They got a Mondale statue.
Welcome to the Walter Mondale
house. I mean, what the fuck? Do you get back there a lot? I mean, dude, can we talk about your eyes? I mean, do girls just like all the time?
They do
like,
okay.
What about
your peepers too?
Oh, I got great eyes.
Yeah, you got great eyes.
I
got to lock somebody in with these things pretty soon.
But you got these like crystal blue.
Oh, mine, thanks, man.
Mine are sunflower eyes.
You're some.
Dude, my wife hates when I say that. No, I have like that. I have this yellow in the middle of my eyes.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, like around like your pupil. And my daughter and my son both have it. My wife. She has, like, green eyes, and they have, like, a light brown around the center of hers, but yours are just, like, pupil blue.
I look like my ma, yeah.
Was that your
my
mom?
My ma had eyes like that, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Do your kids look like you, or do they look like your wife, or do they look like a mix of both of you? Like,
I look
because my brother's kids look like him.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah.
See, I look at my kids, and I can't see anything but them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see any. I'm just like...
That's very sweet.
I can't... It just doesn't compute, but, and I'll get back to that in a second, but if you look at a picture of me at one and my daughter at one, it's like identical. Like I had long curly hair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like we have a picture of her sleeping and one of me sleeping, and we had them on the fridge for a while, and I would say to people, I'm like, who do you think that is? And they're like, River. And I go, who's that? And they go, River. And I'm like, no, that's me. That's her. They're like, no fucking way. I'm like, dude, you don't see that? That's a 1970s Polaroid. But, like, we looked identical.
To you, yeah. I mean, that's got to be kind of, like, a cool feeling to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Like, so when you just tripped out on the idea that, like, I can't see anything in them but them, I used to have this, like, thought that would used to run through my head a lot when I was in social settings, and I'd be talking to people, and I'd be having full-blown conversations, but the only thing that would be going on in my head was, how do these people see you? You know what I mean? Because we can't see ourselves. Like, even as me sitting here talking, I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
I can't see my face. I hear my words. And I used to just sit there and be like, what do these people see when I'm talking? Do they see me
How
as
are
something
they absorbing?
Different than
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Because you know when you like, which again, back to your point about just the idea with that woman who's transitioning, anytime you see someone that you don't know anything about, right? Especially through social media is like completely consumes us. Like we just look at people like, oh, they're doing so great.
Yeah.
But if you talk to them, you'll humanize them. And
less
like,
than
oh,
less,
like
less
you.
And less I do. I think they're doing so great.
Yeah.
They're
doing terribly. And you realize if you just talk to people, then it like you take all the mystery out and you just make them a normal human being. So
yeah. Well, yeah. You literally humanize them as a, you're like, yeah,
yeah,
you're pulling them out of the picture frame a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And judging and, like, you know, making them into something. And so, what was the point going to be? Anyway, so I know that, like, I couldn't... I sometimes, like, see people and, like, the way they do things or how they dress, and I'm just like, oh, that person's, like, X. And then you'll talk to them, you're like, oh, they're just a person, just like me and you.
Yeah.
So then I would be like, oh, do people... Because I only see myself as just, like, I always just see myself as I'm, like, this average dude who likes... being outside and loves people. But some people might look at me and be like, this guy is X or Y or Z. And I
oh, yeah,
sit
there's
there
a ton
like,
of, yeah, I think that, like, I'm like, I'm not doing, like, some people will come up and be like, you're doing so great, like, I haven't seen for a while that I grew up with or something. They saw, like, my Conan or something. They're like, man, you must be killing it. You're doing so great. And I'm like, I'm hanging in there. You're like, yeah.
Dude, I'm eating beefaroni.
Yeah. God, I wish.
Yeah, I know. That show was the best. But I mean, you're an intimidating guy.
You think so?
Physically, you don't think?
No, I mean, I don't.
Bigger guy, you got long hair. You know what I mean? Your eyes soften you, but like.
I mean, I've heard that before, but I don't think that. I know I'm big, and like, you know, like, but like, I don't. It's weird to me that people see me that way because I'm like, yeah, I'm big, but I'm like, I feel like I'm. I don't know. I guess I don't think like appeal. I don't think that's the first thing people when they see me. I don't think that's like what they absorb, but maybe it is. You know?
Sure. I mean, I don't know either.
Yeah, yeah, but like, I just.
I do know that probably 85% of racism comes from the idea of what we think someone that we don't know about looks like.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like a hoodie. A hoodie became.
That's
like
fucking
nuts. Cannot wear object based on racism.
That's fucking crazy. But
I know.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That's something that people do.
I guess it is. Like So I live in Bed-Stuy, and there's like always guys hanging out late at night.
Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah. Like just on their porches or whatever, you know, like not causing any trouble. They're just sitting there drinking and like maybe smoking pot or something or bullshitting, you know. And no one ever, like, one of my roommates, she's like she's a little thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she's just like.
Little thing?
A little thing.
What's up, little thing?
Sometimes she'll just be like, you know, she gets home fine. No one ever bothers her, but she's just like, I'm a little lady. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm using these guys as an example because we both walk by. I'm like, she's like, I'm just scared sometimes because there's just a bunch of guys. You know, like, and I'm like, yeah, I guess. You know, maybe I am a little bit, but I'm also just like, it's because there's six of them. I don't think of it in the same way. And also, I'm like, I'm pretty, like, I do think, like, I am pretty big. I can probably, you know, like, go well enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I get that. Well, two things. One, I never even understood, you know, it's the idea of like a neo-feminist movement that's been going on the last couple of years, you know. I never even considered the idea until talking to some female comics, and they were like, you know, when you finish a show in anywhere, San Francisco or Boston, New York, Austin, wherever, Fort Myers, name it. As a dude, when you walk home from the club to the hotel at 1 a.m, you don't even consider it. You just walk home.
Yeah.
But for a woman, It's a whole different ballgame.
It's a whole other thing.
It's a whole other thing. And I never even.
It's fucking like.
I just wasn't aware of.
It's crazy that you don't. Like,
that.
Yeah. And my friend was in an Uber, and now. And she'd been drinking, and it was during that. Did you hear about that story? That guy just pulled up like he was an Uber, and he, like, he murdered this poor girl. This was a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But
no,
she was drinking, and the people were like, oh, she was drinking. She just got in the wrong car. She's like, Uber exists because people are drinking. Like, this fucking poor girl didn't do anything wrong. Like, you know how many times I've opened the wrong door to a car that I thought was my Uber?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so it's like, it's just one of those things of like, that's how scary it is. Like, you know,
I got in one time and the guy goes, Doug? And I go, what's up, Doug? Jay. He goes, no, are you Doug? And I was like, no. I'm like, I think that's Doug right there. Yeah, I know that's.
Yeah.
And
that's how scary it is. Like, even a thing we think is safe for us.
Exactly.
That's the point I'm trying to get. Like, yeah.
Which is
and
why.
And I was
that,
like, well, then text me when you get home. You know, like,
yes,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never even considered all that. I just, you know, just because one, it never affected me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most
you don't
people,
know.
If it's not something, you know. And so, but basically, two things. I still see women be like, oh, me too. Okay. Enough. You know what I mean? Enough with it. And then you're just like, well, if the Me Too movement didn't happen or isn't happening, then we're not going to be aware of the idea that, like, even walking home at 1 o'clock in the morning is a scary idea for a woman. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If anything, you got to push to the extreme just to make people aware of this, you know?
Yeah, I think you have, like, movements don't happen subtly. So change doesn't happen subtly. Like, change happens subtly, but, like, you need a push.
You
like,
have
you don't
to push.
Go, I like, in my opinion, you can't just be like, can we please have you stop hurting us? Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
not how it...
Yeah.
You have to be willing to hit somebody in the nose or whatever, like, whatever the analogy is. So, like, I... You know, and sometimes I do think things can go too far.
Yeah,
yeah,
of course. Me too.
But I do...
No pun
intended. See the... see the reason in it, like, you're like, and why it makes sense. And then, like, but if you're talking to, like, a reasonable person, whatever the movement happens to be, they'll be like, I see what you're saying. A lot of the time, they'll see what you're saying. And, like, these
I'm saying we all need to talk more to other people, because then you break down these barriers. Like, those people you're walking by, for example. When I was living in Venice, right?
This was. Are we not in Venice now?
No. We're in Mar Vista.
But we're close to
Venice. We're very close.
Okay.
Yeah. So I lived in Venice from 2000 to 2006 or 7. And
you really like the beach, huh?
Yeah, you know what? I was just like, if I'm going to live here, why would I not live near it? And it was just so peaceful. I also didn't come here with, like, knowing I was going to be a stand-up, knowing that if you live on the West Side, it's going to make your life a lot harder for auditions, meetings, shows. And then I just got used to it. I'm like, well, you know what? The hour drive for everything I have to go to is worth waking up and having it cool in the morning with an ocean breeze. You know what I mean?
Well, like, that's an interesting thing. But also, it was a blessing that it was difficult for you at first, because then you don't recognize that it's difficult. Like, that's a thing. Like, when I first got to New York, I was living on my buddy's couch for a while and paying, like, you know, this much money. And then I'd be walking dogs and doing Postmates and all this stuff. And it was all super hard.
Yeah.
But I didn't know any other way of New York. Totally. So now then it was just like, well...
Yeah, of course. Ignorance is innocent.
Yeah.
When I first started doing stand-up, people were like, you started in L.A.?
I was talking with Fortune about that this morning. She, like, she started... Fortune?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like...
She's so damn nice.
Yeah, she's great. It was like, I was doing her and Papa of that radio show now, and I was there, and then she was just like, yeah, I started at the Comedy Store. I was like, that's fucking insane to me.
Yeah. But, you know, I started... That was the first club I got past that. And, like, for a lot of people, that's where you start, because it's the only club in L.A. that develops comedy. You know what I mean?
Like, everybody else comes in formed to a degree at other places.
There's no room. Like, you go to the Comedy Store, you get a job as a door guy or working the phones, and then you get to, like, even now, every show at the Comedy Store is opened by a door guy. You get 5 minutes, you open the show. One, it's the hardest spot. Two, you only get 5 minutes, and it's a chance, like, they're developing.
So you have 1 minute to get attention. That like,
I mean...
And you got to...
And everyone's just getting seated. They're getting their drinks. Yeah. You know, it's tough.
Yeah. But so you got to come out firing quick. Yeah. That's why I noticed that with New York comics when I first got there, because, like, everybody gets 3 minute sets, you know, like, you're like, Jesus Christ, these guys are punchy. You know,
For sure.
Yeah. And they get to it quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
is good and bad. It helps you in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is I was living in Venice, and I lived in, like, an area where there were gang members lived on my street. Yeah. Right. So, like, it wasn't a super safe area at times. I never felt in danger.
Yeah.
Even one night, my roommate came over to me, and we both had, like, girlfriends over. And he's like, hey, can I talk to you for a sec? And I was like, yeah. And we lived in this little, like, house. And next to us was an apartment building that had all your doors to the apartments were to the outside. And there was, like, four on the first floor and four on the second. And there was, like, a stairway up and then a porch stairway down.
Yeah.
And so he takes me over to the window. And outside our house was a little patio or, like, walkway to a guest house, and then, like, the fence, and then that property. And all on the step going up to that second balcony were, like, 10 dudes, 11 dudes, all wearing bandanas over their faces, all with semi-automatic weapons.
Jesus Christ.
And what had happened was a dude in a rival gang who lived in my neighborhood had just got out, and these guys were coming to get him. Because he just got out of jail. So, like, when I tell people that there were gangs, people are like, oh, we're there. You live in a gang neighborhood. And you just don't, unless you've ever lived there, you don't realize, like, yeah, you can live in peaceful neighborhoods that have gangs, right?
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's not going to be written on the side,
like,
of the
street. It doesn't mean that it's like, it doesn't mean that, you know, everything is just a constant gunfight.
Yeah, of course.
Like, yeah.
But, so, as an example, I got to know all the guys on my street and girls, right?
Yeah.
And I remember coming out to my car one morning to move for street cleaning, and one of the guys is coming to my place. And he's like, yo, just come to get you. You got to move your car, man. Street cleaning. Another time I'd come out to my car, and I would leave my windows down. Like, I'm a big believer, like, you put up a fence, people are going to try and jump that fence.
Yeah, there's a defense in, like,
in being protecting.
Like, you don't have to crack my window if you're going to steal my...
Yeah, exactly. So I would leave the windows down. And there were times I would come out to my car, and there'd be, like, four or five of these dudes sitting on my car, just smoking joints and stuff. And I come out, and they'd be like, Jay, what up? When are you going to sell me this car, man? I'm like, I'll sell it to you right now. And they go, how much? I go, $2,200. Like, $2,200?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what do you want to pay? And they're like, know, how about
you're putting dents in it right now. Yeah.
They're like, how about 1,100? I'm like, nah, man, you got to get up to 22. You got to get a two in front. Like, and it was.
And they were like, you're never going to be buddies with those guys, but you did have like a nice neighborly experience with them. And, yeah.
And one Mother's Day, I had bartended like brunch at the bar I was working at. Yeah. And I come home.
Fucking nightmare shift. Worst shift of the year.
What, Mother's Day?
Mother's Day brunch? Are you kidding me? I hate. Yeah.
Why? Have you worked? Were you waiting tables?
Oh, I waited tables, tended bar. Yeah, I did all that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just everybody wants their mom to have a nice day, and everybody's mom is there. You know, like
mimosas.
Mimosas and just people who don't go out to eat a lot, so their etiquette is off.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I come back from brunch, you know, it's like 5:30, I'm getting home, and I'm on my street, and a bunch of people are celebrating Mother's Day. It's not like, oh, they're gang members. They don't have Mother's Day.
Yeah.
They have Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And they're all dressed up, and everyone's doing their thing. And all the kids who are like, you know, anywhere from like 18 to 27 are out in one of their cars, and they're all smoking a joint around the cars. And then the rest of the families are all in the house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like you would at anyone's.
Yeah. That's fucking nuts, because that would definitely happen.
Yeah. You know, it might not be weed. It might be booze or, you know.
Whatever, but like there's kids doing shit they shouldn't be doing. Yeah, yeah.
So I roll up and they're like, what's up, man? I'm like, nothing. I'm like, yeah, I go, happy Mother's Day. And they're like, yeah, we're celebrating. They're like, you want to hit this? And I'm like, yeah. So I hung out and I'm smoking this joint. And then one of the moms comes over. She's like, what are you kids doing? You smoking weed over there? They're like, yeah. She's like, give me some of that. And like smoke some. And I sat there again. Like you said, I never kicked it with them outside of when I would run into them, because we just like very
you weren't
different.
Gonna do that, but they weren't like looking for that from you either, like, yeah,
no, but the point being is when you break down the wall of not knowing and you have a conversation and you just, instead of putting up a defense of like, I don't know who that is, I don't know what they're about, they're not like me, and you just break it down to mere conversation, you can humanize people to realize like, oh, they're just like me.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no need for me to like think that I'm going to.
So this is, does this reach, this is one of the reasons you feel like you are like how you are when you talk to people?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Think I like constantly, and I think it's something I learned over time, because I had a fear of not knowing. Oh, we all do, you know, if you don't know
for
something.
For sure. It's
like
a scary thing. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you good with dogs?
I love dogs.
Yeah.
I love
dogs.
Do you
have
one? No, I can't. I mean, like, just like with as much as I'm gone and
220 days a year, you can't have a dog.
Oh yeah, it's too much. Yeah.
God.
My roommate got a cat that's always in my fucking way.
So you're a dog person, not a cat person.
Well, this cat's just so goddamn needy. Like, no matter where I am, if I'm washing dishes, it's gonna be under my feet. If I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
see, I would think.
And
you
she's
would
like, be
that.
Nice to it. Be nice to it. I'm like, I am nice to it, but it's fuck. If I'm going to stand right behind you when you're cooking dinner tonight the whole time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You'll love that, won't you?
Haven't you ever worked in a restaurant? Stay behind. Hey.
Yeah, behind you. Hand on my back, top.
Corner.
Corner. Full hands in, full hands out.
Totally.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, that's like cats are normally, my problem always with cats is they don't love. They don't give any love.
This one's overly affectionate.
Really?
Yeah, and in a way I'm like, I don't give a fuck. You ever had like a relationship where it's coming to the end and you like try and hold your girlfriend's hand or try and like, you know,
yeah,
you know, like
of course.
Be like, show, give them a little, and then they're just like, no, I'm good.
I know.
That's how I am with this cat. Look,
it's not even coming to an end. It's
no,
just
no, it
keep
just
going.
Won't. Like, I mean, I swear to God, if it wasn't home when I get back,
yeah,
next Sunday,
you'd
I'd be
stoked.
I would be like, if my roommate, if she was like, I don't know where Toby is, and I'm so sad. And I'd be like, I'm really sorry.
But
then I would go to my room, and I swear to God, I'd probably be like, oh, man.
You'd be like, do you put signs up? She's like, no. And you're like, you probably shouldn't. I'm sure. I've read statistics, and chances
it's
are
just
you're
like,
not
it's just
going to
be it's bad for the environment.
I kind of like.
I would be in my room being like, oh, my God, it's going to be so good.
Well, I mean, you know, it's also like. Pets are like another kid. It's like a kid, you know? You got to take care of a pet.
It's fucking nuts, yeah.
I'm all
set. Do you guys have pets here?
No, we have fish. Excuse me, we have 5 fish. And like,
I guess yours are still a little young.
Yeah,
bruh.
But even then, dude, like I have friends that are like getting dogs, and I'm like, why? Why are you getting a dog? You have 2 kids. You're just getting another kid. They're like, no, it's, I'm like, no. It's a horrible idea. I just look at it like, trust me, I hope someday that I guess that we'll have a dog because I think dogs are cool and I like cats.
We have the nice yard stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not ready to have to like train a dog not to pee, don't poop there.
Yeah,
with
everything you have going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah. Ultimately, dude, when I was growing up, my neighbors across the street had a German Shepherd. They had a dog house and a run and that dog lived outside. There was no fence around that yard. That dog lived in the doghouse. It was insulated. And then it would be on its run, and that's where the dog went. I think that's the way it used to be. You had dogs, and they lived outside.
Yeah.
Or in a barn.
Well, definitely. That's an outside dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
I can't, yeah. You know, but people have, like, dogs, and they, like, you know.
Fucking.
It's like.
Treat them like. Yeah. I mean, I probably am better. My brother has three dogs, two German Shepherds and a pit bull, and two kids in the house.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is the messiest fucking thing I've ever.
Oh, I mean, that's a lot. Yeah, German Shepherds and a pit bull.
Yeah, well, and the Shepherds, they shed, and they're like, yeah. They're sweet dogs. And
they're
like,
amazing.
But, and then the pit bull, Frank, is the best. Like, he's like, but I'm just like, God damn it. I want to sit on the sofa without telling something to move.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, see, dude,
also, they ruin shit.
Yeah, well, they're animals.
Yeah. So, I mean, so do kids, I guess. So, yeah.
Yes, and they're animals. I remember my neighbor, that dog, Baron, that was his name, when I was little, and I would call them, and they would bring Baron over to my backyard, and I would ride him like a horse. You know what I mean?
Was he
like,
that big?
Yeah, he was a big, and I was little, you know? But, like, I've never had a fear of German Shepherds, but I always had a fear of pit bulls. Okay, this is the same philosophy of, like, talking to people.
Yeah.
So I always was afraid of pit bulls because back in the day when people started getting afraid of pit bulls, like, one at a barbecue in Massachusetts bit a baby's head off and shit. You know what I mean? It's like just what you were in the news, you know?
Yeah.
Like you. So I was always afraid of pit bulls. And I used to – this one bar I worked at, my bar manager had a pit bull. And I would, like, do the books for him sometimes. And I was at his house and I was like – bro, like, I got to be straight with you, man. I'm, like, deathly afraid of that dog. Like, I can't. And he's like, really? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, all right, we'll bring her in the other room. I'm like, all right. And this thing was so sweet. It would crawl like this along the ground around the couch just to get to my, like, feet.
And get you to like it.
Because it was like, why don't you want to be around me? And I was just like, hey, buddy. And I was like, this dog's going to sense
snap.
My fear.
That's the fear. It's with pit bulls, especially, is that they're just going to snap
yes,
one day.
Exactly.
Like a PTSD kind of thing or
yes.
something. Yeah.
And now I've finally gotten to a point where, like, I can, like, be cool with a pit bull. I still am a little cautious of, like, getting my face up to their face. It just, like, freaks me out a little.
I get it.
I wish I didn't, but it's like, if I knew one,
maybe you should
I'm
get a pit bull. You should get a pit bull.
I don't know about that. I feel like I'm more of like a black lab kind of guy. You know what I mean?
I mean, these glasses make you feel like a black lab
yeah,
kind of guy.
Know.
Yeah,
honey.
Like, yeah.
Call the dog.
Yeah. What's the dog's name?
I don't know. I love that your brother's dog's name is Frank.
Yeah.
All I'm seeing right now for that black lab is Charlie.
That's a dog name.
Yeah.
I don't know if Frank is a dog name, but Charlie.
No, but that's what I love. Yeah. I love a dog that's not named.
Frank's a Polish plumber. Like.
Frank, what do you think? He's like, yeah, I think it's going to be 800.
I got to fucking snake it, and, you know, then we'll see.
I mean,
might have to get yourself a new shitter.
Until I snake it, I don't know anything.
Yeah,
you know
but
what I mean?
I mean, we might have to put a new pipe in. We'll see.
We get Russian plumbers. Everyone in my neighborhood, like, anytime we need a plumber, our heating, it's Russian dudes.
Really?
Well, definitely the heating and AC. For Christmas, 2 years ago, I was cooking and, like, I peeled all these potatoes and put it down the garbage disposal. Not
fucking
a good idea.
Yeah, real bad.
Clogged it. And, like, it was, and I had to get a plumber. Like, it was done. It was cashed. So these two dudes show up Christmas Eve, and they were like, what'd you do? They were from Philadelphia. Two Philly guys. Like, what'd you do? And I'm like, I don't know. I was peeling potatoes and, like, can't put potatoes in there. I'm like, I thought, like, that's the whole point of a garbage disposal. You can put, like, stuff in there. And he's like, nah. You can't put anything in there. It's just to catch maybe little stuff, but you can't be throwing.
It's not like a devouring thing. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And they're just, like, talking to you like you're an idiot.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No, they were just super nice, but I'm like, they're out here on Christmas Eve, you know, like my whole family's, not my family, my wife's sister and kids, so like they're all there. So these guys are like, all right, we got to get to your exterior. I'm like, all right. And they undo this thing, and they, I don't know how what they did, but they figured it out, right? So I'm like, can I make you guys a plate? And they're like, nah, we're all right. We got to get out of here. You know, it's the busiest day of the year for us. And I go, really? And they go, yeah, Christmas and Thanksgiving, two busiest days, because everyone's doing what you're doing. They just think you can put it down. And I'm like,
because everyone's doing what you're doing, Jay.
So I'm sitting there Christmas Eve, and so there's the one guy who's like the business guy, and then there's the other guy who's just there.
The hands.
And the hands guy is standing over here in the middle of my living room, and my niece and nephew and my kids are all sitting there kind of looking at him. He's kind of a strange dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's staring at the Christmas tree.
Well, they don't see a lot of dudes like this dude. No. Yes, yeah. that's a better way to put it. Yeah.
Exactly. And he walks across. He's staring at the Christmas tree. He walks across the room, goes up to the tree, and just goes, that's a good tree. And then walks right back to where he's standing. And, like, I'm loving it. I think I'm like, this guy's the best. Because
you're an East Coast guy, too, so you kind of like that. You like that that attitude. There's a... attitude, or like just the way those people are out there,
just kind of taking it in. And a guy like, who's just like, hey, I'm here, I'm in your house, whatever.
Yeah.
And his brother's like doing paperwork. Guess how much it cost for that,
for them to
just that they were there for maybe 35-40 minutes.
I'm gonna guess there's like a call fee. I bet because it's a holiday they're charging
Christmas Eve,
there's like a weird thing they're busting your on there with the actual service itself,
everything.
And clean up, and maybe some kind of variable because they had to go outside.
maybe.
$625.
That's a very good guess. I think it was $595.
Jesus.
It was definitely had a five. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at it, and I'm like, you know, I had to pay.
I
got to
go
it.
Return my son's bike that I got.
I love it. Unfortunately, you can't have it. I'm going to have to take that back.
It's just... plumbers are open on Christmas, but not toy stores.
Not toy stores. It was just like, you got to pay it. You know, it's like, I got to cook a dinner. You know what I mean? We couldn't cook dinner.
Yeah, and also, that's one of those things. Stuff like that, when it happens on holidays or like kind of like in the middle of something like that, you're like, I'm just going to pay this and say fuck it because I want, this is the more important thing. There's a small blessing if you can just be like, we're just doing it this way today.
There's tons
I know
of
normally
things.
I would freak out. If it was Sunday and I was just making dinner, I'd be like, $595, but everybody's there, so you're kind of forging through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certain tons of things that you're like, fuck it, spend the money, it's going to be enjoyable, instead of like, you know.
Yeah, it's like what, I'm going to ruin everyone's Christmas because I'm going to piss and moan over a thing I caused.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Over $600 that I probably, a lot of the time, I would be like, I don't even know what I did with $600.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like,
it's just like, and you look at it and you're like, that's, you know, I think that's just getting older. Where you're like younger, I'd be like, fuck it. You know, first of all, I probably wouldn't be cooking for.
Also, first of all, there was no way I would have, if younger and I ruined a garbage disposal.
Yeah.
That thing would have stayed ruined. Like,
100%.
Like, I'd just be like, hey, don't.
We got a bathroom sink.
I put a piece of paper over it.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way
you say, don't use the garbage disposal to anybody who walks into the kitchen.
Don't even use that sink. Do you cook?
A little bit. Yeah. I like to. I've been spending so much money eating out lately.
Well, I mean, I can't.
Well, like, on, like, even when I'm home, like, I just order out because
it's easy.
Yeah.
Support for the Through Line with Jay Larson comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Listen, if you've tried manscaping with hair clippers before, you've probably found out it's not a good idea. Maybe you've tried scissors, not a good idea. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has the proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your voice. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. You would never use the same trimmer in your face as you would down there. That's not cool, man. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant in your armpits. Why not use deodorant where else you get smelly? Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Larson at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. So right now, if you go to manscaped.com, you get 20% off and free shipping with code Larson. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code Larson.
We're back after a quick bathroom break.
Yeah.
I was just telling Shane, no, I got asked to do this gig, and I was like, you know, the money, there's basically like no money. And I was like, oh, yeah, I couldn't do it for no money. And they were like, well, we could give you, we have this trade system where we could give you like a 3-night trip to Mexico and to stay at this like resort, you know, not paying airfare or anything like that. Like you have to get yourselves there and stuff. So I was like, all right, you know. So
hold on. You had to fly yourself in.
No, the gig was in L.A. I hosted this event in Los Angeles.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, I see. I'm
like,
yeah.
We can't pay you.
I thought you were doing a gig at
No. Excuse me. Although I did just get offered something like that.
Yeah, I've been offered those kind of things before.
Like, oh, you come to this place and you perform and you're just like, all right, so is there pay? And they're like, well, you know, there's a little bit of money, but you get to stay at this resort. It's all inclusive. It's an islands. And you're like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, no. I mean, I get it. I mean, for some people, that's a nice gig.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm not trying to turn my nose about it, but I'd like, if I'm not working, I'm not making money. If I'm not making money, I'm not working. Like, that's,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like, I get that's a nice thing, but like, to me, that's like, well, then just pay me money, too. If you can afford to give this away,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's not like, the other thing is like, I'm not like,
they don't, you know,
looking forward to that show.
We have a different job where people are like, yeah, but you're going to be having fun. And you're like, nah, I'm still working here.
All right, yeah, ask the video editor to do all this for free. Ask this person to do all this for free. Be a dentist for free.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same, you know.
I got a bicuspid that needs work.
Yeah, I got my lateral incisor. Man, I got...
How's your teeth? You got good teeth?
I think I need to go see a dentist, honestly.
When was the last time you went?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
How many years? More than 8?
Probably not that bad, but
okay.
Yeah,
you gotta go.
Yeah,
I guess. Only reason I say that because my wife got on me on it, and they were like, "We got a lot of work to do." And it's been like a year and a half, and I'm finally in the clear.
You feel better?
Maybe more than that? 3 years of work. You know, they say like so much stress and mental and body health comes from how well you maintain your teeth.
I'm sure. Yeah. It was weird. I was in Portland and this guy was a dentist who's like kind of a comic or whatever, like trying to be a comedian. He's like, if you do my podcast, I'll do whatever dental work you want for free.
Oh my God. Just do it.
Yeah. That's like the plan. I'm going to be back out there next month and I'm going to be like, hey man, let's do the pod. Let's get it. Let's start to get this rolling. It's like, even if it's just drastically discounted.
Yeah.
I'd probably be down.
Dude, in the last 4 years I never had my wisdom teeth pulled. So those all got pulled. Because I had to have another one yanked out because it got so bad. So, like, the root canal.
I've never had mine pulled.
4 other pulled, right?
Yeah.
I've had 3 cavities, another crown, and maybe another crown. And then have to wear a mouth guard at night because I grind my teeth at night. Do you grind your teeth?
I would. I don't know if I do.
Does your jaw hurt in the morning?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
Dude, my son.
I mean, like, I've never had, like a girlfriend or anyone be like, you were... You know, like, did your wife tell you?
No. And because I don't think it's, like, loud.
Yeah.
I know, like, sometimes when I'm stressed, I'll just do that. But, dude, I was at home in Boston with my son, and we, like, you know, shared a bed together. And I would put him to bed, and then I'd hang out with my mom and then go to bed. And, dude, he was grinding his teeth. So it was so loud and so screechy. And I was like, oh, my God. God, this is the worst.
And you just and it's because it's your boy too, so it's a little like I bet there's even like an amount of tension there that's not even like
I don't care.
This isn't
who
like
it is.
Having somebody who's snoring next to you.
No.
Like no, yeah.
You can be like, hey, and I did. I was like, bro,
yeah,
you're grinding your teeth. It just hurt. It sounds like it hurts. It's just the worst.
Yeah. Sean, you know, well, of course you know Sean Patton.
Yeah, of course.
Have you ever heard him do that bit where he talked about like he's like he snores? And then his girlfriend will just, like, punch him in the back when he's sleeping. He's like, it's not my fault. And then also, it's not stopping me from snoring. Like, you,
totally.
You're like, you hitting me doesn't fix the issue.
That's not doing anything.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You getting out whatever else you're pissed at me about.
Yeah. Here. Like, just a... Yeah.
But hardcore snoring is, like, you know...
It's really difficult.
Yeah. So, I feel like, you know, we were talking before. I wanted to know about your web series because I thought it was interesting. And... I feel like what you described to me, which I want you to describe it again, it fits you in such a way. You're a pretty positive guy. Do you think you're a positive guy?
No.
You're not?
No.
I don't think you've said a negative thing the whole time we've been chatting.
I try to be positive for other people. Yeah, for, like, if this is not...
Yeah.
No, not even, like, for if it's applying to me,
yeah.
The world is constantly ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even...
I mean, I get that.
Yeah, and
but even putting it out to other people means you're, like, putting a focus on positive things.
I get. I mean, I think maybe it means I have sympathy or, you know, like, I like... But
I remember my mom telling me as a young kid, like... You know, be positive, blah, blah, blah. And I remember being like, oh, my God, enough with the positivity stuff, lady. That doesn't do anything. And then as I get older, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like,
it does.
Put positive things in the world and positive things come back.
I'm just more like, you can, I guess my version of that would be like, I am going to just be a worker. Like, I'll work my way through anything. Like, so, yeah. Like, even if it is, like, emotional or something, I will, like, I don't think it's positive. I think it needs to be done and handled. So, like,
I get that.
And I guess that is a positive thing, but I don't, like, you got this. I don't say that, you know, because I don't know if I got it.
You got this, Shane.
I really don't. Like, so I just, like, I'm just like, you're going to try as hard as you can.
Yeah.
And then you'll be very happy that you, even if it doesn't go the way you want, things don't go the way you want, you'll be like, well, you know, you did what you were supposed to do. Like,
gotcha.
There's a positivity in that, there's a relief. And not thinking I left something on the table. Like,
yeah,
that's
a, I like that.
That's why, and that's why,
but
like,
dude, you to be negative and put work into stuff is hard. Because if you're negative, you're going to stop yourself from trying, from achieving.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not negative, but I'm like, I'm a pessimistic, maybe,
yeah,
or realistic.
Yeah, or realist.
Yeah. But I guess that's like, but that's like probably one of the reasons I like stand up so much. It is my favorite thing, is that I am responsible for what I am doing,
yes,
up there. You know, like, 100%. If something goes bad, I usually know what about it's my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of it.
Yeah, yeah. Most of the time, yeah.
I mean, I never try to blame an audience, but I love that.
I have blamed audience. And sometimes
I have too.
And sometimes sometimes they deserve to be blamed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
So tell me about the web series, because I think it's interesting.
It's called Shane Torres Conquers Your Fear. We put it out with Comedy Central. Hopefully we get to make more.
Yeah.
But the idea of it was positive fear factor. So I'd have these friends, I'd ask them what their phobias were. And then we would build a challenge for them to overcome this phobia.
Yeah.
Like, my friend Molly Austin was afraid of snakes. So we built a challenge her having snakes, but we start to, it's corny too, in a way of like, we sit in two chairs like this and I'm like, so tell us about your fear. How did it start? Blah, blah, blah. And then we're gonna do like a little immersion therapy. So I made her wear like a snakeskin jacket, and then mm-hmm. I showed her a picture of Jake the Snake Roberts, and like, you know, like,
yeah,
things like, you know,
hilarious.
Dumb fun, yeah. And then I like hit her with gummy snakes and stuff like, and and then
and
at
then
the
you
end,
get to eat them.
Yeah, there was like 40 pounds of gummy snakes.
No way.
You know, I just kind of just kept, like, I would just casually just like, I would just, if there's something in a bowl in front of me that can be snacked upon, it's the end of, like.
Do you know my accountant, who I see once a year? They have in every room in the place. The waiting room is a jar of like mini like Kit Kats, Hershey, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And every year I know I'm going to see my account. I'm stoked because I can't wait to eat out of those.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
His office is another bowl.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're like, Jay, you can't have this much of a deductible meal in the great state of Massachusetts.
Oh, I have to tell you,
have
man.
A crackle.
Yeah, totally.
My accountant is based in Pittsburgh. Well, no, that girl I was telling you about earlier.
Yeah.
Her and I went to, I was spending the weekend with her, and I did radio, and the radio guy was like, I can't go to my Steelers game on Sunday night. Do you want the tickets? And she's like, she's hardcore, like, reps Pittsburgh. She's got a Penguins tattoo on the inside of her hand. The
damn.
She's a total babe, and it was so fucking cool. And we were like three rows back. I could see Philip Rivers screaming at everybody.
Wow.
Yeah. But we were there, and this guy from this band, The Common Heart, that's based out of Facebook, is a fucking sick band, really good.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of
music is it?
Kind of like Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats a little bit, like kind of really great vocals, like some horn stuff.
Cool.
Not like clap and stuff. I'll text you like three songs, and you're gonna fall in love with this guy's voice. Is crazy. But he was there, and he's a fan of mine. We were talking and bullshitting, and he came over. She manages bands and stuff, so they know each other.
Oh,
and
man.
Yeah, and she does. But we were sitting there, and he came over and brought me two beers, and he goes, "Oh, this is my buddy Dave. He's my accountant." And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "I need an accountant." He was like, "All right, man." I just sent him my shit, and then we were just like eating sandwiches, and I was like, "Yeah, this guy's drinking beer and eating sandwiches. Like, maybe he's not, the best guy on a Sunday night to be getting.
I don't know if that's the guy I want.
It's my guy. It's
well,
my guy.
First of all, you got an accountant.
He still hasn't
Pittsburgh.
Gotten back to me. He might just have all my tax information.
You got a dentist in Portland.
Yeah.
And now, if you see him eating a bowl of gummy worms, maybe that's not your dentist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So wait, why did you come up with that web series? And like, so then, how did you conquer the snake fear? Or like, what
oh,
was
I
the
didn't
thing?
Even get that. I'm sorry. Yeah. So you know those like those trashy like spray painted shirts that people will get on boardwalks like on
yeah,
the
East Coast?
Yeah, we did those like in the Britney Spears "Slave for You" video, and then we got a boa constrictor or a python. Yeah, and we made her dance with it, and we wore those. And I did it too.
Are those dangerous snakes?
I mean, there was an animal wrangler. I don't know.
No,
if it was.
I know there's a wrangler.
I don't know.
But...
Molly, if it was a dangerous snake, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And yeah. Was she freaking out the whole
oh,
time?
Oh, it was calling through her hair. She was just like, oh, my God. Yeah. I had to yell at her to get a dance. And, like, there was the director, this guy Michael Wolf, was like, you have to get her to, like, hold. You know, like, he was like, because we were coming up on our lunch break or whatever. And he was like, this, we're going to go into overtime. It's going to be a whole fucking
listen, we like, cannot pay for her phobias any longer.
Yeah, yeah. She will still pay for them. Yeah. And so he was just like, get her to do it. And I was like, he's like, now you put it on. And I just had, like, I didn't even really have time to think about it. I just had to put it on. And the thing went, like, slid, like, it was over my shoulders. And it slid right across my eyes.
See, and some of the, like, punishments on, what the heck's, Impractical Jokers. Do you watch Impractical Jokers?
Yeah.
Man, those guys kill me.
They're so funny.
They're so funny, dude.
And they're sweet to one another. In this yeah. Weird, yeah, yeah. They clearly great. Love each other. Yeah.
Sal's the only one I've met.
Sal's the only one I know, too.
And he is ridiculously nice. You're yeah. Just like, dude, how are you this nice? And so I put that on all the time. But their
he's always smiling
do,
and
yeah,
like
always.
Happy to see people. Yeah.
And he's also like, he has got tons of fears. So yeah. Like punishments, they've like tied him down in like a box and then put like tarantulas over him and snakes.
Yeah, I would do. Yeah.
And he's like full blown, like almost crying, being like, guys, like freaking. And you're just sitting there like seeing the joy they're getting out of it. You're just like, oh, this is the greatest.
Do you know Casey James Salingo?
No, but that's one of the greatest names of all time.
He's like a Vermont guy. He lives in New York. Funny guy. Like yeah. We
Casey James what?
Salengo.
Salengo?
Yeah.
God, did he have a fucking funk band in the 70s?
No, he's the whitest dude you've ever seen.
God.
But he was one of the guests, and his fear was that nobody likes him. So we had to think of it. So one of the things we did, we took his half hour special and we removed all the laughter from it and made him watch it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it was very, yeah.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah. It was, that was like the one I was just like,
this is mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this is like, and we're trying to be positive the whole time. Yeah. And we just printed out like his lowest performing tweets.
Oh my God. And so wait, how did you, what was the final thing?
We hired all these paid actors. And we put nameplates on them, like mom, dad, girlfriend, and they just said mean shit to him. And he had to, like, stand up for himself to these people.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
It was fun. It was fun. Hopefully Comedy Central wants to make more of them.
They're not watching, dude. We think they're like, oh, shit, Shane's doing Jay's podcast? We
I think they
check
might.
That out.
We've both done half-hour specials with them.
You goddamn right we have.
What year did you do yours?
2011.
Okay.
What about you?
17. I think, yeah, 17. I remember your Inclinade joke.
My what?
Did you make up facts? Your makeup facts joke?
Oh yeah.
Was it
1755?
Yeah,
the incarnation.
Yeah, the incarnation. I called
it was one of my favorite jokes I've ever.
Yeah, it was. I remember thinking it was so funny when you did it.
I don't. It's never really gotten legs. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, it's just like something like I don't know. I used to always. I've always looked at stand up like. Oh, once I have a joke and it's done, it's done. Like if I put it out,
I'm the opposite.
I kind of just like leave it.
I'm oh,
like,
that part I'm with you on. Yeah. But like I think a joke is not done until you put it on something.
Yeah, for sure. But then there's like certain like so much you can only wait so long to get an opportunity to put it on.
And also like you lose your legs in it. Like you like even if you did love it at one point, it's just like I can't play this fucking thing anymore.
No,
I can't do it.
You lose passion to do it. It's not like a song where every time you get into it, you're like. Fucking,
you know, I was talking to somebody else about that. You know, like that's like the big comparisons. Like
always.
You just, yeah, they got to play songs that they, you know, that's what people want to hear. They don't have to come
like
up.
The
with
Rolling
it.
Stones are still touring on the same stuff for 40 years.
It's fucking crazy, and it's like they're doing that, and like I know comics would be like, see, they just have to play the stuff they already know works.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, okay, that's true, and that there's a comfort in that, but I was like, I also think it's like there's a tragedy in that they have to still do those songs all the time. They have to be turned, but. Also, the other thing I was thinking was, like, it's an opportunity. The fact that they want us to have new things that are great is really difficult, but it's better than just saying the jokes I've been saying.
Yes. Yeah. Comedy's also an element of surprise. You know what I mean? It's like, so you can only be surprised so much.
And you can't be surprised by a joke again if you remember it. You
can't,
like...
You can, because delivery is still, like, even last night when we did a show together last night, and I was like... Everyone knew what the punchline, at least an idea of what it was going to be, because it's like coming off of like something. I can't remember what it was, you know what I mean? And then I give it, and it's a brand new joke.
But they know where they're leading.
They know where it's going.
Yeah.
But, and I was like thinking that in my head. I'm like, oh, they all know where this is going. But it got like a huge laugh because... It's coming from me. It's coming in our delivery. It's
and
the
also,
way
there's
we
a relief in like when they're waiting for you to do it. That's that whole the joke I did last night that I opened with was the same thing. It was just like they know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
and it's just like how long is he going to do this? Becomes the joke to some regard. Yeah,
there's also that's such a great room.
Yeah. Oh, that place is special, legitimately special.
Yeah, those fans are there for comedy, and they want to see you make them laugh. So they're like on board,
and they want to be excited by you. They want to see new stuff. Yes. Yeah. And they're not showing up for the idea of comedy, which happens at a lot of comedy clubs. People just show up for like, I'm gonna go see a movie. I don't know, what do you want to see? Let's just go there and see what's playing. Like that's kind of the approach a lot of comedy clubs have, which is crazy good because the good clubs are like, if you like this person, you'll like this person. Yeah, like. They think about it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. But at the same time, the Rolling Stones, you think there's ever a time that they're going to play Under My Thumb where they're not like going to give it everything they got?
Yes.
They probably... Oh, you do?
I 100% do.
You think they're just like, fuck. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to give them a show, you know, like, because they're legends, you know, like, so...
Of course.
So they might be the exception to the rule.
Yeah. But Oasis, on the other hand, was probably like, oh, we're going to be fucking Wonderwall.
Yeah,
again?
Yeah. They might be like tired of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was listening to, have you listened to Brian Koppelman's podcast?
No.
It's called The Moment. So he just like, it's just like he interviews people about when they figure out what they want to do with their lives professionally.
Oh, cool.
And he was interviewing that band, Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah.
Because he like, he was
spotted the ocean.
Yeah. And he was like, will you guys play that song? And they were kind of, it kind of seemed like they were like maybe a little hesitant, or he was asking in a way like, did they like knowing that they may not want to play it?
Yeah,
yeah. He was, I think he was being considered. It's a better way to put it.
Yeah,
and they're like, yeah, we'll play it, of course. But like even that, you know, like you know, the person interviewing you is thinking about you if you actually want to play the song.
Yeah,
so it's a real thing. Is what the point I'm trying to. Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, of course we'll do it. Yeah,
and there's other bands that like faded out because they just couldn't do it anymore. Like,
yeah,
there was this band I loved in college, The Samples, and I loved them to death. And they had like 5 albums, and they were like a college band. Like, they would play colleges, and then they just kind of like disappeared. And we'd found out, you know, that the lead singer just kind of was like, nah. Like, everybody was like, we need to, like, go mainstream. He's like, nah, that's not what I want to do. I want to, like, just do this. And so they fell apart. And, like, so one night I'm in San Diego doing the Comedy Store, and I'm smoking a cigarette outside. It's a long time ago. And there's this guy there with this girl, and we're all talking. He's like, yeah, man, I thought you were so funny. I'm like, oh, thanks, man. And we start talking. He's like, yeah, you know, I used to have a band. And I'm like, oh, that's great, man. What was your band? He's like, oh, you probably don't know him as The Samples. And I go, are you fucking crazy? I go, dude, are you Sean Kelly? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, bro. I'm like, I'm a huge fan. Little Silver Ring. I started like naming songs. And he's like, oh, wow. I go, what happened? What fucking happened, man?
You should have him on.
I mean, I probably could, you know.
I mean, that'd be an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm just down here recording some stuff. And like, I mean, they probably were set and like had made enough money that they, you know.
Yeah, but it was like, he's a talented guy and he just kind of
did. Super. And he's got an amazing voice and I loved that band. And he just was like, yeah, it's just not what, you know, sometimes you get into something thinking it's going to be something and then the curtain gets pulled and you're like,
yes.
Oh, it's actually this.
I know so many, I bet we know so many comedians who were like, I wanted to have fun and thought this was an interesting way to do this. And then like, you get further down the road because there's this immediacy in comedy for people to be like, you have to take it seriously and you have to make it a career. You know, it's already hard enough. You know, and then I think some people get caught up in that and being like, well, maybe I don't love this as much as I thought I did, but now I feel like I'm too far down this road.
Sure.
So now I have to go to, you know, Pocatello, Idaho once a year. And, you know, like, and I think that's really sad. So I think the courage to walk away from something is kind of, you know, like, even if it is something you love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another, this is like something that I always think about is like, you know, like misery loves company, and it's also like people aren't going to rally around you if you're going to leave something because you have this principle or some idea. You know what I mean? Like if you're a comedian and you see someone getting out of comedy, you might not be like, hey, great idea, man, because you have this thing in the back of your head like, oh, shit, do I need to get out of comedy? Like, why is he getting out?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that's especially hard for someone who like gets out, because if you're getting out, the other thing with comedy and the entertainment business is like could be right around the corner.
That is, that's the thing, is you see the burst. Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, you're like, I was telling myself that the other day. I was like, I was at the Cellar and I was sitting with all these other comics that were, you know, more so have done very well, and just in there and we're all working. And I was like, maybe it's just right around the corner. You know, like that, yeah, that life is not that far away. Cause like I was talking with some of them and I'd be like, this guy's like the richest person ever, you know, like, yeah. And I was just like, but I don't think he's so much better than me that it's not possible. Like maybe he makes smarter moves than I do.
Yeah.
But like as far like on stage, I was like, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, you know, like, but like, I don't feel, I wasn't quaking in my boots if I had to follow him or go up before, you know, like any of that,
yeah,
any of that kind of stuff. And
that's the best, by the way.
Yeah.
Is when you get to that point where you're like, oh, I don't care who I go at. When do
yeah.
I go?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go hit this motherfucker in the mouth too. Yeah. 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 Like that's the only person I ever like am terrified of is Dave Attell when he goes up. Cause it's, yeah, he's the funniest person alive to me. Like everything, yeah, the way he works, it's crazy to watch, yeah, and I can't ever stop laughing when I watch him, and I'll still follow him, and I'll still do okay, you know, like, yeah, and or better than okay, but he just like, you're just like, Jesus Christ, this guy's like, it's like watching, to me, I've used this analogy a lot, but it's like watching Michael Jordan play basketball. It's like, clearly this is the best guy on the floor,
mm-hmm,
and then everybody else is probably pretty good.
But Scottie, yeah, Pippen can still throw up a triple-double the
yeah,
same
yeah,
game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I've found
and
recently,
also, it doesn't mean I can't be that guy at some point.
No. And I've had like this experience recently where I've been in a position at the Comedy Store following studs,
yeah,
that are talking on stage about how much they can't stand people that are just like me. Like, they're not talking about me, but they're just, like, not for the idea of what I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I have to go after it. And I was, like, backstage. I'm like, oh, shit. How is this going to go? And then I got up, and I all I did was call attention to it. Yeah. And it crushed, and then I went right into my thing, and I was like, oh, they can laugh at that person for what they're saying, and at the same time, they can enjoy you for what you're saying.
For sure,
and
yeah,
it was just such a relief and a realization that, like, there's no need to get worried. You're gonna, funny is gonna conquer funny.
Address it. You yeah. know, you can't say, you can't have, like, a big hunk of shit on your face and not talk about it if you're up there, but, like, whatever that is, you have to get in front of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this was awesome, dude.
This was a blast, man. Thanks for having
you
me.
Making the time, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Shane,
you're
Torres
right. That drive
to
the west side isn't that bad.
It's not, man. You just got to pick your spots.
Yeah, you were on your high horse about it in the green room last night. You were so mad. Like, because you were like...
You wanted
You were like,
me,
people from the east side act like going to the west side is the end of the gun. But people from the west side go to the east side all the time. Our air's better where we're at. Our water's better. Like, you were going nuts and... Then I was like, yeah, I'll do your podcast.
Yeah, and then you got over here and you're like, man, do you always have a breeze like this? Like,
yeah, I did, yeah. Always. I truly did. And I was like, man, I love these little beach houses, man.
You know it.
Yeah.
You're the best, bro.
Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.